Welcome, everyone, to the open forum Q&A session for the Rapid Launch. This is Jim Armstrong, the coach and founder of Jim Armstrong Marketing Systems. Today, what we're going to do is basically answer any questions that have anything to do with the Rapid Launch. We can skip around all over the place, and so it's basically just kind of filling in some gaps here. You know, last week we had a lot of questions, and so that's why we're doing this today. So why don't we go ahead and get started? Steve, why don't we go ahead and start with you? What we're going to do is we're going to give everyone about 10 minutes. And then so if we kind of reach the 10-minute mark, we'll move on to the next person and go around the room, so to speak. And then if there's still time and you know we've still got more questions, we'll go back around the room a second time. How's that sound?
Fine, sure.
Okay. All right, Steve, let's go ahead and start with you.
Okay. Well, first thing I'd like to just ask about is in the area of warranty.
Okay.
And as I've just thought through the installation warranty aspects.
You're talking about the lifetime installation warranty?
Yeah, lifetime installation warranty. And it kind of brings to light, you know, kind of the what ifs. And oftentimes you kind of manage these things for the worst case scenario. And so I've kind of thought through a few things that I felt like needed to be excluded. And I was wondering if you had some thoughts about how to handle exclusions while keeping the, you know, ironclad warranty clear and concise and, you know, basically on one page.
Yeah, that's a good question. What exclusions specifically are you thinking of, Steve? Let's just make a list.
Sure. The first couple I've just thought through was grout cracking. Grout sealing, you know, it just seems like those are a couple of things that I will run into. Cracking for sure, you know, floors move, and you know, I'm not real sure that I need to be responsible for somebody's concrete moving and then having to go back in and, you know, patch cracked grout. And I think there's probably other kinds of things that you might say, you know, I don't want to be on the hook for that.
Okay. Let's make a list of everything, because it really, I think, is going to boil down to what you're excluding. So besides the grout issues, are there any others specifically that you're thinking of, Steve?
Well, I guess there is climate control issues with wood floors. So if somebody doesn't handle the climate control properly, they could then in turn say that there's an installation issue. And it can get a little bit pricey. I actually had a situation like that we're working through. Sorry,
you mean climate control yeah, during and immediately following the installation?
No, once the home's been, you know, I guess the floor and the home is in possession of the homeowner, you know, assume that the floor is, you know, acceptable when they, you know, pay the final bill. But if in fact they don't climate control their home appropriately, then the floor gets exposed to typically moisture. We have a lot of vacation homes in my area, and we go from almost zero humidity to, you know, saturation during our monsoon period. And with these vacation homes, people don't always climate control them, and they come back and the wood's taken on a bunch of moisture, then it got dried out, and voila, it starts to buckle. And a lot of people will point to an installation issue with that.
Okay.
And so just one of those things I want to be protected on.
Sure. Well, let's kind of, I think there's two halves to this, you know, or two parts to this question. And the first is, how do you word the warranty so it still doesn't sound like you're burying them in fine print? And then the second half would be, you know, how much of a risk are you actually incurring with the grout issues and the climate control? So what I'd like to do is take the first portion of that and talk about how to word it in your warranty, and then maybe, Bruce, you could give some thoughts on the actual risk level, you know, that Steve would be facing if he didn't include those exclusions. What I always do, if there's any kind of exclusion, I don't make it fine print. I make it as big a font as everything else. In fact, I'll even say, you know, here's what's excluded, and then have bullet points. We can't cover these issues, and then maybe have a little explanation as to why. You know, if it really is an issue where you've got foundations that move and cracks that happen, give a very, very brief explanation of that. Just say, we can't, you know, foundations move, the cracks happen, unfortunately we can't cover this, you know, climate control issues with the wood floor. In other words, don't hide it, okay? Be real upfront about it.
And would you put it on the same document that, you know, presents the warranties, so it'd be right there?
Well, are you talking about, like, that flyer that has the triple ironclad warranty?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, put it right on there. Absolutely. See, the more upfront you are, the people just don't want to be, they're so used to the little asterisk that's almost invisible because it's in five-point type, tied to the other asterisk down to the bottom where you need a magnifying glass to read it. And everyone knows they're trying to get their, that's essentially a swindling kind of take advantage of them technique. People hate that. So just be upfront about it, whatever you do. And just make it obvious. And people are cool about that. There was one other thing I just thought of, and it escaped me. But that's my advice regarding how you talk about it. Bruce, what are your thoughts on I remember what it was. All the warranties, Steve, they don't apply to rentals, vacation home. This is owner occupied, okay? This is not for commercial, not for where if someone's running a daycare in their home or a business in their home or second homes, vacation rentals, and that sort of thing. This is for owner occupied. So if you're really concerned about, you know, maybe you have the lifetime warranty on the wood floors, but, you know, it's a vacation home. The person isn't there to take care of it. So you can, maybe it's a property issue rather than a warranty issue. So that's something to think about as well. Bruce, what are your thoughts on the risk factor and that sort of thing?
Well, I would totally agree with what you've stated so far, Jim. And you cannot warranty or guarantee something that's outside of your control. And, you know, such as moisture conditions or movement of a slab or something like that, and so an exclusion like that, as long as it's upfront, okay, it's in bold print, your customer understands clearly what those exclusions are and why they're excluded. I don't think very many customers are going to have a problem with that, because again, you're offering something that your competitor is not offering, even with a few basic exclusions, and so you're setting yourself apart just in offering a guarantee like that. I have had experience, I think I mentioned before in our earlier call, just in the last recent years and months, I've been working with seven different stores all in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, and in the Bay Area, especially in the North Bay, they have a lot of conditions like you're talking about, a lot of moisture right on the West Coast. And there's a stability problem in the soil. So, you know, they have problems with, you know, cracks and fractures and slabs and movement in the soil and things like that, to the point where they're even building houses on adjustable jacks where they adjust the height of the house due to the season, you know, whatever the season is. And so, you know, all the stores, seven stores that I've worked with, deal with these issues all the time. Now, I think five of them adopted a lifetime warranty, but what they did is they chose certain products and they highlighted those products. And so they didn't offer it across the board. And none of the five offered it on ceramic tile or hardwood because of the problems that they know that they're going to have. Okay, there's no way around it, you know, on the West Coast. And so what they did is they highlighted that lifetime warranty on carpets, and only if installed over a premium cushion. And then they would build in a little higher profit margin on those premium cushions, and they would sell high, and they'd be excited about the advantages of installing over that cushion. And so it kind of alleviated some of the restretching problems, and because you're going over a firm cushion, and it also gave products you can highlight that you can advertise, but it didn't cover everything. And so it probably has a lot to do with whatever part of the country you're from. I know Pennsylvania, the conditions are going to be a lot different than Arizona, and so on. So you just have to work through it and work through those conditions that you face on a day-to-day basis, what products are rise above those conditions or aren't affected by those conditions. And I would highlight some of those things. And I think that's what my advice would be.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about the Ironclad warranty? So I've created a sheet, inserted our name, and so it's our sheet. And, we have it, and we've begun to hand it to customers that come into the store. Had a couple of eyebrows raised by customers that were real pleased, and looks like I kind of eliminated the competition on at least one job. That's great.
You've already done it.
Oh yeah.
All right. Good for you.
Yeah. And the guy's been back a couple times. I don't think he's still gone to the other stores, so I think that maybe it's did impress him. I wanted to hear your thoughts. I know you talked a little bit about promoting this, I guess it's one thing to promote it to a customer that walks in your store and make sure that he's aware of it, and then maybe a second step to hand out these things freely to the right target customers and included in advertising that's out in the general public. And so I wanted to hear your thoughts on kind of alerting the competition to what you were doing in this area.
Oh, that's a really good question. Well, first of all, good job on already. I mean, we've been at this a week now, and you're already implementing stuff. That's just good for you. Good for you. And you're already seeing the results. You're seeing the response from the clients and what kind of impact that has on them, these kinds of really bold guarantees. I would definitely use it in all your advertising, all your marketing. As far as alerting the competition, keep in mind that all these guarantees, we didn't invent these. These have been around for a while. The problem is, everybody's scared of it. Your competition is terrified of it, and they're gonna. When you start marketing it aggressively, what they're gonna tell their clients is, yeah, they say it, but there's no way they can honor it, and they're gonna say all kinds of stuff about you. Bruce and I have talked about that at length. So I would definitely be very bold about marketing that now. The only way your competition is going to see it, though, is if you're doing mass media, the print media, newspaper, yellow pages, and that sort of thing. If you're really concerned about them seeing it, stick with the direct mail types of promotions, because the one advantage of direct mail is you fly under your competition's radar. They have no idea what you're doing, for the most part. They might see it a little bit here and a little bit there, but then again, I guess I'm giving you two thoughts on that. First of all, I would be really aggressive with it. If the paper had like a full page special where you get a full page of advertising, really, sometimes they'll do that. I'd be running a headline, no regrets guarantee, and a whole sheet full of testimonials from clients about how you honor your warranties and how great your service is. They're not going to know what to do with that. Your competitors really don't understand what it is that you're going to understand at the end of this rapid launch. also, as we get further on, you are going to learn some of those cold or those marketing techniques to reach out with that. But I think you're on the right track. Any thoughts on that, Bruce?
Well, yeah. You know, another aspect of marketing is branding yourself and what kind of brand are you creating for your particular store. And that's where these, you know, these things like the Ironclad Guarantee comes into play, is it helps define who you are and what you do, what you offer. And so what I would do is I would be proud of that thing and I would fly it wherever I could. I would develop a logo and that communicated what Ironclad means, you know, safety, security. You can, you know, it's a done deal. You can believe in us. And I would include that on every piece of advertising that I had. And the installation warranty is something that is really not a high risk because there's a high return on it. There's a higher return than there is risk. And again, you know, I want to encourage each of you not to look at it as a negative of what might happen, but a positive to turn a challenging situation into a success, which is a win-win for both of you. Because you've developed trust with your customer and that allowed you to get back into the customer's home again, gives you an opportunity to sell or put something in the customer's hand, to get references, as what was mentioned before. And I would just fly that thing wherever I could. It'll confound your competition. And they'll say, what are you talking about? You know, and what are they doing? What are they offering? And it'll create a buzz in the community. And so I would just make that part of your brand, and I would just advertise that in every way possible, every opportunity that you have.
Hey, Steve, that guy that's that you said is still sort of sitting on the fence. Have you looked ahead in the manual for the Shock and Awe campaign?
I have. Unfortunately, I'm resource thin, and
okay.
Yeah. I shot him, you know, what I considered to be the right price. And, you know, he gave me a barter, you know, kind of a counter offer, yesterday, took the samples home with him and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Well, so it'll be an interesting little case study here.
Yeah. Well, when you get, you know, if you are resource thin on the, you know, to start off, the Shock and Awe involves some, you know, especially the last one, the basketball letter. You know, there is an investment there, but you know, you could send a tennis ball or something like that and still have pretty good impact. But that's what you're going to immediately plug these people into who walk out of your store. You go through the design audit with them and they still haven't made up their minds. Now you're going to plug them into the 4-week Shock and Awe campaign. And it's just, I can't wait for you to start using it because you're going to get some neat response.
Well, I can't either, but I didn't mean I was resource funds thin. I meant people thin.
Oh, okay.
There's three of us running. We're kind of average about $150K a month, and for three people to run that, it's just ridiculous. So it's a little difficult to take on some of the new big rocks.
Sure, I hear you.
We're working at it. Got to make a hire this week, I'm sure, and we'll move forward on things.
That's great. That's great. Mike, you have any questions?
Well, you know, I've got a million questions, and just coming off of our long vacation, my mind's kind of mush when it comes to all this stuff. But you know what? I just want to say, you know what? I'm really interested in kicking off in my store right away is, you know, the connecting with the customer modules, you know, the referrals, the continuing letters and marketing, all of this stuff to my customer. I'm really interested in getting that going, and I haven't really sat down and made a plan with all of this yet, but I'm really excited about that, and I'm sure in the next week or so I'm going to have a million questions concerning all of that. I just want to tell you I'm really excited about that, you know, that module. You know, the warranties and all that, we've been using a lot of that stuff, and I know it's interesting to hear the other questions and the concerns about the warranty, the installation warranty, and the ironclad warranty as well. We've been using a lot of those warranties for many, many years, and I remember back to the times when we first started using those and the fear that I had. I mean, it was almost like trembling fear, you know. The thought of the installation warranty had all the same thoughts, but, you know, basically, you know, listening to all you guys talk about the liabilities and such, it's been really simple for us. And you guys, you know, you called it property issues and earth issues and a lot of different things. But basically, you know, all those problems that you have that you're going to call exclusions really are site conditions, and you can generalize them as that. You know, and we haven't had any problems with a long list of exclusions. We just don't have them. All we say is it has to be an installation-related issue, and we will warranty that for the life of the carpet or the hardwood or the tile, and we don't exclude any category. And, you know, the only thing we do is say it is owner-occupied residential application. That's it. And you don't have to go into a big, long list, because if it is a site condition, it is a site condition. And so, you know, that is that issue. And the other one is, you know, the ironclad, the replacement stuff.
The no regrets guarantee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no regrets, you know, it's pretty simple. You know, not really that many people take advantage of it. But when you do, it is tough. You got to pay for it, but the thing is to exploit to the hilt what you can and have that customer sing it from the mountaintops. You sing it from the mountaintops. Do everything you can to convert that into an advertising tool, and it'll far outweigh the cost of any kind of, you know, replacement costs that you have involved in that.
Hey, Mike, this is Bruce, and let me ask you a question, okay, since you've been using these warranties and guarantees for a while. You know, on the replacement policy that you have, about how much business do you do a year? What category would you fall into?
We do about $3 million a year.
About $3 million, and how many of those, floors do you replace a year on an average?
Well, the no regrets stuff, we do approximately one every 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, all across the board. 99% of the time, it's a carpet job.
Mm-hmm.
We probably do, 12 to 15 a year max. And, for some reason, in a customer's mind, they don't want to do the ceramic one. We have never done a ceramic one, ever. All the years that we've done it, we've offered that no regrets on ceramic tile installations. And you have this fear of, oh, my gosh, if we do this big, huge countertop and floor and all, everything combined, you know, are we going to have to replace this job? We've never had one. And the best idea I have is that the customers are thinking in their mind, oh, my gosh, this is the same thing we're thinking. This is going to be such a huge ordeal. I don't want to go through that. And so they don't. The ones that they do are the easy ones. It's like laminate flooring and carpet are 90% of our replacements. We do some vinyl flooring, too, but those are typically not as costly.
So you're doing about $3 million of business a year, and you're doing about replacing maybe 8 jobs per year across the board.
Well, we're probably, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
About 8 jobs. I went the other way. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that falls in line with the experience that I've had with other stores that do the same thing. And, And I think it falls in line about 1% or something like that of the installations you do, or a little below that. And so I think that'll give you guys a real clear picture of a dealer that's doing this right now, you know, about how often you're going to have to replace a floor. And because that lines up with the experience that I've had as well outside of the region where Mike is doing business.
And another thing, too, is we promote the heck out of that. So it's like, you know, that is really out there. All the literature that we have, and we teach our sales staff to really promote that. And I forgot the other gentleman's name.
Steve,
you said that, you know, you're kind of wondering how much you should promote that. And, you know, just as a comparison, we promote the heck out of it. And that really,
Mike, let me ask you this to tie in with what you're saying. Steve's concern was, you know, the other competitors latching on to it and copying you. How many of your competitors, Mike, have, I mean, you're all over the place advertising this. How many of your competitors have latched on and copied you?
Well, there's only one that is participating in that, and it's an Abbey store. And Abbey has this, you know, kind of like in their system like we do, but they don't promote it. They're afraid of it. So it is not an issue. There are no stores that have copied it. They're afraid. They're scared to death of it.
And even the ones that do have it built, because they're a co-op, it's kind of built into the Abbey.
Yeah, they're not pushing it.
They're not pushing it. They're afraid of it.
They're afraid to death of it. And it's funny because even when a customer comes in with our sample and says, well, here's, you know, this is what these guys are offering, they kind of like say, well, yeah, we have the same thing available too.
They whisper it.
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody, but we can do the same thing. You know what I hope happens is I really honestly hope this for, and I hope my members don't get mad at me for saying this, but I hope everybody is sooner rather than later gets that one replacement that they've got to do. You know, if you're by your gross sales, you know, you're going to average, you know, three or four a year. I hope one of those four happens like in the first month, because I want you to go to get photos of the client. I want you to get testimonial from the client, photo of you standing with the client with your arm around them and them smiling. And you're going to put that in all your marketing, and your competitors are going to see that if they see the ads, and the color is going to drain from their face. They're going to start quaking in their boots, and they're going to go, oh, my gosh, they're not going to know what's going on.
Yeah, you know, I think it's important to remember, again, you know, the statistics that I shared with you last week, and I forgot which conference call it was, but the statistics that say that if we sell a job and we do everything right and we have a satisfied customer, they're going to get out there and advertise that fact to 10 people that we did a good job, and they're going to recommend an average of 10 people. If we mess up on that job and we totally screw it up, they're going to talk to about 20 people plus about how horrible we are. But if we step in and we make that thing right, that they will reach 30-plus people, and they'll reach those 30-plus people with more passion than they did reaching the 10 if we would have done it right in the first place. So there's a real opportunity even when we go in to replace a floor like that, you know, to turn it into a positive.
Well, you know, Bruce, something that we've talked about and is that floor that they're unhappy with, they're going to have that floor, you know, statistically for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a billboard of unhappiness about your store. So everybody that comes in and comments on her new carpet and her family room and hallway, she's going to go, yeah, but I really don't like it. And, you know, and the name of your store is going to come up. And so for the next 7 years, you've got this negative billboard.
Yep.
About your store. Whereas you replace that for them, bite the bullet and do it. Now for the next 7 years, you're going to have this story that's going to be told over and over again, because it's so unusual. and everybody that comes to her house is going to comment on her beautiful carpet. She goes, you know what, though? Two weeks after I had it installed, the color was clashing with my furniture. It didn't look right. I was so unhappy. And they replaced it free, and they're going to spread the word about you. And then on top of that, you know, Bruce, you're talking about turning it into a positive. When you're in the home doing the replacement or what have you, or if you're doing a restretch because of the lifetime installation, by gosh, leverage that time. That is a opportunity for you to hand them your referral request form and get referrals right there. And at the same time, get their photo, get a testimonial, and all that's going in your newsletters and all your marketing. So you could literally use those as an opportunity to get more jobs. So anyway, does anybody else have any other questions or comments?
None for me. I'm swimming.
You see that?
I'm swimming over here.
Okay. Well, guys, let's go ahead and wrap it up then. Appreciate all of you being on here. Tomorrow is the Connect campaign module, same time, 9:00. Write down any questions that you have. Make sure you read module. If you haven't read module 1, read it, and make sure you read module 2 as well. And we'll do it all tomorrow. Thanks, guys, for being on the call.
Thanks.
Okay, guys. Bye now.
Okay. Yeah. Bye.